Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I was wondering at what point I should start thinking about establishing a trust and what are the pros and cons to having a trust.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, it depends how complex your estate is, really.
Invest Talk. Over 31 million downloads and counting.
What do you think of Walmart as a long-term hold?
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, April 30th, 2021. And on today's program and podcast, we will operate with the same philosophy we operate every day. Independent thinking and shared success. And that is your assurance that we will always provide you with accurate market reporting, explanations of how we derive at what we say, where it comes from, and how we get it. We'll explain everything we can. So if you want that information, then we can provide it. You know, we do this every day. I've been doing it every day for 20-something years. So, you know, we've been doing it for so long with the same philosophy that, you know, it comes second nature to us. So sometimes we may explain things that might be more complex than we think it is. So please hold our feet to the fire to have us explain things, because we want to make sure it's clear to you. I'm Steve Peasley, and of course, I encourage you to give me a call. This is a call-in show with all your investment questions. Anything money-related, we'll talk about. And you drive the show. Wherever you want it to go, that's where we go, as long as it's financial in nature. We're live right now. We're always live, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Justin Klein and I switch off doing the show. And the number is always the same, 888-99-CHART. You can call that number live right now. We'll answer the call. Or you can call after the show or before the show. Leave your question, and we'll try to get to it as fast as we can. So let's go ahead and get right to the first question, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Said from Canada. I have a question regarding the ticker symbol SHW, Sherwin William Company. I'm trying to get into this one, but just looking for the right entry point and what is your take on the long term. Thank you so much. I'll listen to your response on the podcast. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, SHW, Sherwin Williams Company, out of Cleveland, Ohio, operates 4,774 paint coating stores in the U.S., Canada, expanding base. It usually expands about 2% a year, its number of stores, so it's constantly opening new stores. Earnings are going to be up 13% this year, 10% next year. Obviously, with an expanding economy, this is a very economically sensitive type company. With an expanding economy, with a housing market, the new home construction, huge increases, it's done very well. Now, it's going to make $10.22 next year. The stock is $273. So it's a, what, 27, 28 PE, and that's pretty expensive. Has a great return on equity, 58%. Great cash flow, doesn't pay much of a dividend, 0.8%. But the stock has already made a huge move. So, you know, since 2016, it did fall to, what, 110 or 115 during COVID, and now it's at 273. But, you know, now it's just an upward trend. So it'd have to pull back for me to be to about $250 before I find any interest of owning this thing, which is that should be strong support. So I'd wait for a pullback. If you don't get a pullback, I'd just look elsewhere for something else, because it's you know, you're chasing the performance at this point. You don't want to chase performance. Now, to achieve financial freedom, you will need the right information and an effective strategy. You've got to deal with market volatility. We always talk about that every day. Market volatility, fear and greed, you got to deal with that. up and down, and how much fear do you let control your decisions? How much do you let greed control your decisions? And you know, sometimes it's very difficult to know that that's happening. Do you know what is controlling your, what emotions are controlling you? Can you identify it? So we'll talk about that if you like. 888-99-CHART is my number here. The trivia question today concerns a forecast-sized rankings of world economies. You know, the top 10 world economies, what are they? You know, they're not going to be exactly the same as they were before COVID than after COVID. So that's going to be the trivia question. And since it's Friday, I am going to share some highlights from the KPP Premium newsletter. And we do that every Friday. What did the market do today? Down. Dow was down 185. The Nasdaq down 119. The S&P down 30. To me, it feels like this is a case of, you know, buying the rumor and selling the news, because we've had really good numbers and really good earnings numbers this week. We had a lot of data come out, and they were all good, and the market sold off. So that tells me that everybody knew that they were going to be good, and they bid up the prices beforehand, which they did. The market's been very good this whole quarter, except for the last couple of weeks. It's been going kind of sideways. So, you know, I think that's all it is. I don't see any big correction. I don't see a bear market, but we should have a correction. We're already overdue for a correction this year. This is Invest Talk, and I'm Steve Peasley. We are headed into a quick break, and the Invest Talk Anytime listener line is now open, 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about Riskalyze? It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jason in Long Beach. Hi. Hey, Jason. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. Doing just fine. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. I appreciate it.
Awesome. I have a question on Clorox. Just want to add it for a long-term play. It's near its 52-week low, and I did pretty bad this quarter, so just want to see what your thoughts are. Thank you.
Okay, Clorox, symbol CLX, manufactures cleaning products, trash bags, water filtration systems, and food items. It's not my favorite space because it's a pretty low growth, no growth area. They pay an okay dividend of 2.4%. They are a big company, $23 billion, so it's huge. They have a hard time growing, though. They did grow for like four quarters. This most recent quarter was flat. The first quarter of this year, flat, no growth. To me, there's no catalyst for it to really do well, and it's got lots of debt. So it's not something has great cash flow or very steady sales and earnings. I mean, the earnings are very steady. They slowly go up pretty consistently. But it's nothing exciting about this company that's going to drive it to the next level. So for me, I would probably exit. It's already, you know, I see it's fallen from a high of 239 to 182, had a bad day today. If it breaks below, this is what I do. If it breaks below 176, because that's a last support level, I think I'd give up and get out. So if it holds that, if it goes back to 200, that's going to be a lot of difficulty going higher than that. I would see if it holds here at 176. If it starts to creep back up on you, I'd use that as a place to get out and go find something better. That's what I would do. Appreciate the call, Jason. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Oshi from St. Louis, Missouri. Oshi.
How you doing? I was good. Calling about SDIV. Been trying to get into dividend stocks lately. Just been looking at it. It's an ETF. It looks like it's has a lot of room to come up from its pre-COVID highs. They've been paying a good dividend, pretty constantly for the last 5 years. It kind of went down a little bit during COVID, but it's starting to rise again. It's been having higher lows. So I just wanted to know what you think about it. I looked at its holdings and just really didn't recognize any of its holdings, which is kind of preventing me from buying it. But I don't want that to really stop me from getting into it.
Yeah, there are probably a lot of foreign, right? Foreign companies?
Yes, yes. It has a lot of global exposure. I think it's
exactly.
about 40% China.
Yeah, so there's where, that's why you didn't recognize the names. This is a ETF seeking performance corresponding to the Selective Global Super Dividend Index. So its focus is dividends, okay? But I would tell you that global dividends are not nearly as, I want to say, stable as U.S. dividends. That doesn't mean they're bad, because you can get, like, European or Indian big giant companies that are pretty stable in their dividends. But usually, you know, that you can get some volatility. This pays a 6.6% dividend. And the only reason why you do buy it is because of the dividend. And it does look like it's slowly moving up. The most it'll probably get up to is about $21, $22 a share. That's the best you're going to get. But that's a pretty good percentage when it's selling $14.15 now. So I think it's a pretty good position to have in your portfolio. It goes ex-dividend, or already went ex-dividend on April 5th. So I don't know when the next dividend payout is. Did you know what it is?
Monthly. It looks like it's paying a monthly dividend.
Monthly. Oh, that's even better. I like that a lot. So, I kind of like it. I kind of like it as a position in your portfolio, Jason.
I think I'm going to start a starter position in it and then just kind of watch it on long term.
Yeah. Just put a little on now and just see. OC, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. My focus point today concerns this story. President Biden wants higher taxes on inherited property to pay for his American Families Plan. Now, whenever I hear any politician talk about increasing taxes for the rich, I want you to perk up your ears, because that usually means middle class, okay? And I think this particular proposal is going to hit a lot of middle class people. And we'll talk about it. We'll get into some details, explain why. I mean, it has been explained by him of taxing for wealthy people. Well, I'll explain why that's not just going to be wealthy people. I wish they would tax the rich. The rich are people like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all those guys that have billions of dollars, hundreds of billions and billions of dollars, those billionaires. They don't get taxed when they say they're going to tax the rich. You know who they tax? They tax the middle class and upper middle class. High income earners is who they tax. That's not the same thing as the rich. In my mind, at least. Anyway, we'll talk about this particular tax when we get back. So I'm going to get into that story. So what do I have? We have a couple things. We've had a really good numbers out. Did you see the income numbers for March? Income for March went up 21.1%. That is ridiculously high. Why did it jump? Because of the package put out there by the latest spending package by the federal government. They gave us, what, $1,400 stimulus checks or credit cards or whatever it is. So that, remember, in March, or the month before, was a shrinkage of 7%, which was also a very big number. Why was there a big shrinkage? Because the previous package passed by Trump, giving us a lot of money. So we got odd numbers coming out here. And spending went up 4.3%. The month before, it shrank 1%. But I've been keeping an eye on the core inflation numbers. Core inflation is up 0.4%. It was up in February, up 0.1%. So March, it jumped to 0.4%. Inflation is starting to rise in every place, everywhere. Okay, you're listening to InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we're already into the second quarter. So 2021 is moving right along. So with all the changes we see happening, it is important to remember that during time of market uncertainty, The task of building your financial freedom must continue. You cannot afford to backslide. So we'll talk about this. Your participation is very important to the show. So we are taking your questions live, 888-99-CHART.
Look at the calendar. We're already moving through the second quarter. The market has been interesting, and serious investors need to bring their best game. InvestTalk is here to help. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review.
Hey, Steve and Justin, my name is Lewis from Palm Beach County, Florida. I've had the opportunity to speak to both of you in the past, and I really appreciate the insight and information that you share. I was wondering at what point I should start thinking about establishing a trust, and what are the pros and cons to having a trust? Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Well, it depends how complex your estate is, really. I mean, if you have a very simple estate, you have a savings account, an investment account, and one house, you really don't need a trust. Do you have a bunch of kids, two different marriages that are going to inherit your estate? Do you want to have control of what's going to happen with your money during your life when you get old but you can't make decisions for yourself? And after your life, still want to have control of your assets, where they go and how they're distributed? You know, a will would do that in a lot of ways, but a trust would be better. So it depends on how complex the situation is, and whether so you can give them, when we all get old, we're all going to be there, right? We're all going to pass away at some point. You want to have somebody in charge of your estate while you're still living, but you don't have, your mental capacity or you're bedridden or whatever. And a trust is ideal for that kind of thing. Okay, so it depends on you, really, what you want. But the more complex your estate is, the more you need a trust. And I'm not an expert on trusts. I'm not. So you might want to talk to a trust lawyer. But I'll warn you, as soon as you talk to them, they'll say, oh, yeah, you need a trust. Because they like to get paid. So be very careful about that. My focus point today concerns the story. President Biden wants higher taxes on inherited property to pay for his American Families Plan. Okay, what does that mean? Higher taxes on inherited property. So that means you work all your life, you have your property, you want to give it to your family, right? Give it to your children or whatever. Well, guess what? They may have to pay taxes on that. And we're talking about capital gains taxes. Before, as it stands now, when someone inherits a piece of property from you, they get what's called the stepped-up value of that property. So at the day you die is the value of that property. That's when they inherited it. So they don't owe capital gains tax when you bought the house. Well, he wants to have capital gains tax on that property now. Okay? Something happened to my computers here. Got it back. So, now, he says, well, wait a minute, it's only for properties of $1 million. Okay, so, now, you might think, many of you might say, well, that's not too bad. So, properties over $1 million, those are big, expensive properties. Not in California, not in Northeast, not in a lot of places. $1 million, you can't buy you can barely buy a condominium for less than $1 million. So what happens if your parents bought their house 30 years ago and they paid $20,000-$30,000 for it? Today it's worth $1.5 million because it's Southern California. Don't think that's not unusual. It's not. Houses in San Jose, old houses built in the 50s and 60s, are worth $2 million, and they're just a little stamp house. So what happens? Well, okay, they bought it for $30,000, your parents, when they first moved in. Now you're inheriting it. Maybe you want to live in it. Well, you can, but you're going to have to pay capital gains. If it's worth $1.5 million, now or $1.2 million, anything over $1 million profit, you have to pay 30-40%, whatever the tax rate's going to be. I don't know what it is. That hasn't passed. Of that, right now, give them a check. Okay, so if it's, let's say it's $300,000 over $1 million. Well, 20% of that, that's what the capital gains is now, long-term capital gains is now, 20% of $300,000. Okay, come up with $60,000. Write a check. Can't? Well, you got to sell the property. So I don't like the idea. I like the way it is now where you inherit, you know, it's, you inherit your parents' estate and whatever it is, stocks, bonds, property, at a stepped-up value. And now that you own it and it goes up in value, you know, you can pass that on to your family, your children, if you want to, or you can sell it and get, you know, get your inheritance that way. I don't like them attacking inheritances, okay? I don't like it. You know, and it really kind of ticks me off. Why don't you go after the truly wealthy people? You know, there's such a thing, it's called a 1031 exchange. Have you ever heard that? That's where you can sell a property and buy a equal or higher property at without having to pay taxes on it. Well, that's helped people when they're buying office buildings and rich people that buy high rises. Why don't you go after those people? Leave us alone. Anyway, the COVID-19 pandemic has shaken up the rankings of the world's largest economies after sending many countries into their worst economic recession in recent history. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. How much did the list of the world's top 10 economies change from 2019, before the pandemic, to now? What do you think? I'll have the answer for you after the other break. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
And I've got a question about warrant shares. I think that's the right term.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? 888-99-CHART.
I'm in my early 20s, and I'm thinking of doing something that every article I read says not to.
I noticed it took quite a fall.
Yes, I know it's extremely risky.
I have a little mixed feelings about this stock.
And I wanted to see if this could be a riskier payoff in the long run.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk.
It remains a very, very tough business.
But opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely.
We got a lot of things cooking out there that the market has to think about.
To invest strategically.
We've moved very far, very fast. It needs to consolidate.
KPP Financial Principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein host a unique weekday finance and investment program and podcast, Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today. At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com, HackerOne.com.
You are listening to Invest Talk. It's Friday, and the COVID-19 pandemic has caused financial disruptions around the world. But you've got an asset portfolio to protect and grow, so you'll have finance and investment questions. Steve Peasley is here, and he's taking your calls live. Call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, everybody, I gave you a trivia question before the break. Okay, how much did the list of the world's top 10 economies change from 2019 to now? How much change was there? Okay, so the data came from CNBC, by the way, where they compared normal gross domestic product in U.S. dollars across countries provided by the IMF, International Monetary Fund, World Economic Outlook, that database. Okay, so United States, China, Japan, Germany still came up the top four spots on the world's list. Okay, so U.S., China, Japan, Germany, and then India. Okay, so the list did not change a lot, but some rankings have shifted as a result of the pandemic. While one country, Brazil, fell off the top 10 list, and a new country, South Korea, joined the top 10 list. So save the time. Here's what the list looks like. So in 2019, as I said, U.S. number one, China, Japan, Germany, India. Now it's U.S., China, Japan, Germany, and United Kingdom. Top five. Okay, so that's the interesting. Brazil fell off and India came on. Kind of interesting. Anyway, so that's the trivia question. Let's go to Rahul in North Carolina. Rahul.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a regular listener, and thanks for the knowledge you share on a daily basis. My question is around Panasonic. This is a good, very good play in the electrical cars. I mean, they're a major manufacturer of batteries for Tesla.
Right.
And I mean, they're comparatively much cheaper than any other player in this industry. Okay. I was just wondering, what is your opinion on this?
Okay, this is a foreign company, and I just saw it for everybody's information. Whenever you see a symbol, and the symbol for Panasonic Corporation is PCRFY. Whenever you see a symbol ending in a Y, that's a foreign company and is traded over the counter. Over the counter, not on the exchanges, over the counter. Pink sheets. They used to call them pink sheets. I don't know if they still refer to them as pink sheets. Because they used to be on pink sheets, but that's a whole other thing. But Panasonic is a very big company, $29 billion, Japanese manufacturer of appliances, automotive, and industrial systems and solutions. And they have a big deal with a partnership with Tesla to build batteries. Is that the did they build that in Nevada, that factory? Do you remember, Rahul?
I think they're building a new factory in Nevada.
Yeah, a battery factory. They didn't finish that, huh? I thought they were done. Anyways, it's not expensive. It's $11.82 stock. It doesn't pay a dividend. They make 89 cents a share, up from 64 cents last year. So you're looking at, what, a 15, 16 P.E.? Return equity is 12. Very good cash flow, $2.38 a share. They do not have a lot of growth. And that might change in the next couple of years. But right now, they don't. But it's still a fairly reasonable price. So you really can't buy this for the dividend. You're buying it for possible future price appreciation. And the highest it's ever been is about 15, 16. Okay, so like in 2018, they made $91 a share, and the highest stock price they got was 16. So it's $11.82. So if it went up that much, that's like what? A huge 45% increase? So I think it's a fairly good bet. You know, I don't have I don't like it being on the pink sheets, but it's Panasonic, so it's a really huge company. So it's not like, you know, one of those fly-by-night companies. It's solid. So I don't have a problem with it. You know, but should you buy it now? Let's take a look. It has a lot of support right in this area, right in the $12 area. It dropped below a little bit. So I would wait. We know what I would do is wait to see it come up and start to move up. Don't buy it while it's still moving down. Wait till it turns around and starts to move up 3 days or so, and then I'd be a buyer. Hopefully it doesn't spike up. Hopefully it just turns around and starts to rise. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Rahul. Let's go to Eric in Virginia. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks so much for everything you guys do. I had a question for you about earnings. I know that Justin had been talking about how with how many blowout earnings we're having right now, and the way that a lot of the market has responded has been kind of negative, or, you know, selling off to that. Would you say that's just a buy a rumor, sell the news kind of situation, or what is that kind of telling you about the near and, you know, potential medium, you know, short to medium term for the market?
It's telling me that it is buy the rumor, sell the news, and it tells me that we're probably going to see a correction. Now, a normal correction is 10% from the high. We haven't seen too many normal corrections the last 10, 15 years. I mean, we usually get maybe 5%, then turns around and goes back up. But I would really like a normal correction, because I think that would be a great buying opportunity for anybody who hasn't got in. But I think it's a buying opportunity. It feels like to me that we're trying to move toward a weakness in the market, because it's been kind of, you know, it hasn't really fallen. It's just weak, right? I mean, it hasn't really, especially in the tech area, it's kind of weak. And it had great numbers. So why is it weak? Well, that's because everybody knew they were going to be great, or felt they were going to be great, and now they're selling off because they are great. Well, are they going to be even greater next quarter? And frankly, you want to know the truth, in my opinion, I think, Eric, they are going to be greater next quarter. You know, I think it's going to be a very good earnings quarter. That's why I don't think we're going in for a bear market. We're just in for some correction, some noise. Okay? Appreciate the call. Thank you. On Friday, I generally set some time, give you a quick rundown on some of the benchmark numbers. The two-year treasury yield is at 0.162. And just so you get a perspective, it was 0.157 last week. The 10-year treasury is 1.6%. It was 1.56% last week. So that's yielding a little bit more also. So the spread between those two is pretty healthy. Gold, $1,769 an ounce. Last week, $1,785. It went down a little bit. Silver, $25.91 per ounce. It was $26.05 last week. Oil, $63.40 a barrel. Last week it was $62.21. It went up. Why would it go up? You realize, of course, we know the economy is expanding and everything, but we got plenty of oil. Way more than we probably need. and yet the price is going up. I know it's anticipation of higher demand and unfriendly policies out of Washington on oil. We know that, right? But why would it go up? And we know the electric car is coming down the road. With or without Washington's backing, it's still coming. And there's going to be less and less demand here in the United States for gasoline. We know that. Talking about gasoline, California is $4.02 a gallon. $4.02 a gallon. Nationwide, $2.89. That's up a penny nationwide. California, we're always paying through the, and it's going to be costing more. Our state government can't seem to not want to increase taxes on gasoline. They want gas taxed out of existence, what they prefer to do. And so, you know, you have to either pay it or leave California. By the way, Ohio, $2.78. Why Ohio's $2.78? There's no oil there. The KPP newsletter, which went out to subscribers today, it goes out every Friday about the same time, around noonish. You know, so, and I always put a lot of information in there. The first part of this week's was, I mentioned that it was light on economic news, but it came in heavy toward the end of the week. I gave you a little bit of it. I mean, income and sales, personal income and retail sales up big, both of them. I reported that the GDP came in, 6.4%. And that's huge. That's huge. They think, or some of the experts are saying, it's going to be bigger in the second quarter. I can see that. Also, you know, what else came through? Core inflation was up. All the inflation numbers are up, everybody. And the stock market, though, remains in an upward trend despite a couple of weeks of sideways movements. The market itself is overdue for a correction. But with the season's earnings looking so strong, it's hard to imagine a bear market. It's just hard to imagine how that's going to be with all the central banks around the world spending money, right? World economy is recovering. The COVID vaccine is spreading. It's hard to imagine with those three major issues that we're going to have either a recession or a bear market. Not yet. By the way, we are planting the seeds for one down the road, but it's pretty far down the road at this point. Okay? And so, you know, I the portfolio management section, I talked about fear and greed. I talked about, you know, your style of investing, and you got to find your own style. Like Warren Buffett is a deep value investor. You know, hasn't been doing very good in recent years, but he's still the world's best investor. But you got to find your own style. What kind of investor are you? You have to discover that, and then, you know, and go with that. Stock ideas. World's largest iron ore miner had there listed. I also looked to give you a company, a brokerage firm. Discount brokerage firm, big one. And I like both those as stock ideas for people. And Consumer Watch, Payment Protection Insurance. You know what that is? It's Payment Protection Insurance. If you borrow money, a personal loan, you can get Payment Protection Insurance on that loan, which will pay back if certain things happen. Don't buy that insurance. Don't. It's a waste of money. Don't get a personal loan. That's my first recommendation. Don't get personal loans. They're expensive. And there's really not needed if you learn to control your spending. It really is. But I talked about payment protection insurance gives you some pros and cons, mostly cons. And that's the newsletter, everybody. If you want to participate and get one every Friday, you go to investtalk.com and sign up. Investtalk.com. Let's go to Andreas in Los Angeles. Andreas.
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi. I had a question. I was looking at Roche Holding, RHHBY. I was looking at it. It seems like fundamentally it's good. It's a slow grower, has nice cash flows, but it seems to be trading at this $40, $41 range for a while. I was just wondering what your take on it. You think it's could be a good okay. value, or what do you think?
Okay. Roach Holdings Limited, the symbol RHHBY, and you told me you heard me before tell you that when anything symbol ending with a Y means it's a foreign company, so it's traded on over-the-counter, not on the exchange. That's Roche is from Switzerland. Switzerland-based developer of therapeutics, preventative and diagnostic agents, treatments, and various diseases. They are very steady. They made $2.67 last year, $2.79 next year, this year about the $2.60. So it's really steady. They don't have much growth. There's just not a lot of growth. I will say in the two recent quarters, 14% increase in sales, though. Not sure why. I'd have to look. It might be COVID-related, might not. I don't know. But it's a $40 stock selling with earnings of $2.79. That means it's a 20-ish, 18-ish P.E. And the range is 10 to 23. Very good return on equity, 61%. Small dividend, 1.9%. Huge cash flow, $24.61. So there's really – mutual funds are kind of net sellers in the last year because there's no – these drug companies sell on their pipeline. If they have something coming out their pipeline, their drug development pipeline, and that is very, very positive for the company to – have future sales and earnings growth. Roche has not got a very good pipeline, even though they're spending like 20% on research and development. So it's not my favorite. There are other drug companies I like a lot better. Let me put it that way. Appreciate the call, Andreas. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Be happy to talk to you. We talked about capital gains tax earlier in the week and earlier in the show here. So that's the biggest thing that it looks like to me that they say it's only for the rich, but it's really not for the rich. It's for the higher income earners. Okay? Middle class and high income earning class, not the rich. See, I think they keep defining the rich as just regular, well-off people, people that have a good living, that make a good earnings income. Not rich. To me, rich are people that have, you know, $10, $20, $50 million in the bank. They own office buildings. They have whatever. Or they own huge billions of dollars in stocks, hundreds of millions of dollars in stock positions in the company they own. Those are the rich, in my mind. And why don't you tax them? They don't. Because those people don't take income, high income. They don't. So that they can't take higher income taxes. They do different things. And you know what? Neither side, Republican or Democrats, are going to tax them. Just not. 888-99-CHART. Get your questions in. This is Invest Talk.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Steve. This is Daniel from Pueblo, Colorado. Just a quick question. What do you think of Walmart as a long-term hold? It does pay a dividend, but it seems a little pricey. Like your perspective on that. Love the podcast. Listen every day. Appreciate it. Bye now.
You're right. It's expensive. Walmart, WMT. Everybody, I don't think I need to explain what they do. WMT is a symbol. Make $5.88 next year, and it's $139 stock. So it's expensive. You know, P.E. ratio range is 14 to 28, and it's what, 25, 26 right now? Return equity is very good at 20. Cash flow is very strong at $9.48. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it over the last year. It's a great stock to have in your portfolio, but buying it now seems a little late after a huge run-up. So I would wait. It pulled down from 153 all the way down to 120 here in the beginning of March. Now it's 140. So right now it's at the 200-day moving average. If it breaks above 142, that would be on a chart a buy point because it's breaking up. But it's probably going to hesitate around 150. I would rather see you buy it at the 126 to 127 area if it goes down, or maybe the 130. If it goes back down there, that's where you would want to pick it up. We get a correction, it'll probably go there. Remember, that's if, not positive we're going to have. No one really knows. No one knows. If you had a crystal ball, maybe we'd all know, but we don't. Okay, the billionaire investor named Leon Cooperman, he's a billionaire, been around the market for a long time, was interviewed recently because he's supposed to be smart. He says he is fully invested. He is a fully invested bear, meaning he thinks the market's going down. He said that within a year from now, the market will be lower than it is today. Now, that's a pretty easy thing to say. No one really knows. He's reading the tea leaves. I don't know. I can't tell you that. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me if the market had a big rally up, sometime later on this year. But next April, the market's down. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, remember, he said it a year from now. Well, this is the last day of April. So it wouldn't, a normal thing, everybody. There's this old saying that goes like this. You go away in May. Go away in May. Because June, July, August, there's usually a pretty deep correction. That's historical. Whether it's true every year, no, it's not. But that's an old saying, and it wouldn't surprise me. We have a weak summer and a strong fall. Wouldn't surprise me at all. The market has a seasonality. The last 3 months and the first 3 months of the year are usually the best months. The middle 6 months of the year, usually the worst months. A lot of people think the worst month is September, and actually it's probably October. But also, October is known to have hit a bottom, and rise from there. So there's all these things. If you look at history and look at the patterns that are out there, this is pretty common stuff. I'm not telling you any secrets. But you also got to remember it's not always true. Not always. So you can't, trade on this information and think, I can get out of the market, in the market, out of the market. It really doesn't work very well. It really doesn't. Once you get out of the market, the hard part is, when do you get back in? You have to make that decision. That's very difficult. When do you get back in? Most people get back in way too late, so they shouldn't have gone out in the first place. That's what that means. Stay invested in the market. You can trim, you can rebalance, you can slide, move positions over to a different sector, favor one sector over another. All that is possible, but try to time in and out completely, it does just not work. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we appreciate your participation in the program. Remember, tell your family and friends about the free podcast. This will turn into a podcast a few minutes after the show. Now, you can browse by podcast topics, too, if you want. 401ks, cryptocurrency, treasury yields, real estate, growth stocks. So that's a tip your friends and family might appreciate. Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer
of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.